this last week to stop this, and I'm just thankful that we don't give in and we're here today. Please bear with me if my throat gives out a few times, and also please bear with me if I get a little bit choked up at times, because this is a very personal story, and I'll be very open with you at times about how things went and my own personal relationship to God over the past years. So please bear with me at times. So today, wait and see the salvation of the Lord. I would like to start by looking at the context of today's scripture. Moses is there by the Red Sea, and he's telling the Israelites to stand firm. And they're all there, they're terrified. The Red Sea is on one side, and the Egyptian army is on the other. And if you look at the entire verse, Exodus 14, you'll see that within a few verses, it goes from verse 8, the Israelites are said to be marching triumphantly from the Pharaoh. And then by verse 11, Moses is facing people that are mutinous. Despite all the blessings they've had from God, they've been through they've seen the plagues, they've seen the Passover, they've seen the pillars of smoke and fire guiding them through the desert, and yet now they're terrified, and they really are. They've totally turned, and they're even saying to Moses, "Look, we told you so. We told you that this was going to happen. But do not be afraid." This is what Moses said. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And I see a number of parallels between Exodus and the situation many of us are facing in our lives. Fear and loss of hope. Stand firm, brothers and sisters. The Lord will bring you deliverance. For those of you who don't know my background, I'll give you a short introduction. I've been really active in SIC for many years. I think I first joined in 2005. But even in that time, even no matter I was active, I wasn't really active in my spiritual life. I came from a Scottish Presbyterian background, and our faith was very much based on facts. All you had to do was believe the fact that you had salvation through Jesus Christ, and that was how it was in my household. Salvation was a fact, and there was no alternative. If you speak to my mother and father today, they're not vocal about their faith, but to them it's incomprehensible that anyone would not believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not an active faith. It's very stolid Scottish. These are the facts, and you go with them. So when I was growing up as a Christian, we would very rarely read the Bible. We would certainly never talk about Christian matters at home, and prayer, not really at home. Occasionally, maybe at Christmas, we'd say a grace, but not really very active. And in that period, from starting, from coming to Norway, my life was going pretty well. I was married by 2008, and I had a son by 2011. My work was going really well. I was comfortable. Just like the Israelites, I was in some ways marching triumphantly. Life was good. And the promised land for me at that time, even though I was a Christian, was the nice house, the nice car, a good job. For me, things were going well. Well, at that point, that's when life was turned on its head. And today I'll preach part testimony of my own family's Red Sea moment, and part encouragement to those of us who are losing hope at this time. So this is where I hit the brick wall. December 12th, 2012, I suffered a major epileptic seizure in our kitchen at home. I was rushed to hospital, and by March of 2013, so 3 months later, I was diagnosed with a grade 2-3 brain tumor. Close to my motor cortex, the doctors didn't know what to do. You'll see sometimes that I have a problem on my left side, and the doctors were concerned that any operation on my brain would, at worst case, make me hemiparesis, like partially paralyzed on my left side. So they just didn't know what to do. They didn't want to risk this terrible, the paralysis, but they didn't want to just let the disease go on. So they were they wanted to wait and see for a while. And by July, I was told that there was no hope, that there was to expect the worst. So by July, I was being told that this wonderful life that I'd had before, that was it. It was at an end. But by October, God had guided our path to Oslo, new surgeons, and a successful operation in October 2013. Praise God. But recovery after that was a long process. Bearing in mind that I was only a few months ago, I was in charge. I was the man of the house, the breadwinner, the captain of the ship. And I think there's very few of us in the congregation that consider themselves control freaks. That's a very extreme term. But once you lose that control, you realize that most of us are in fact control freaks. Because if we don't give everything up to God, then we're relying on our own power to guide us through life. And that is a form of control freakery. I'll try and say that. Excuse me, I'm going to have to keep on drinking this. Oh. And that as well is a form of pride. Because if you're saying that you can control things yourself, you're saying to God, you know, I'm okay, God. I don't need you. And that's a huge pride. And it was only after I had that control taken away that I realized how proud I had been in my heart and how I'd depended on my own powers rather than God's. There's a nice verse, Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And I think there's another translation. Many are the plans of man, but it's God that determines the matter. And I've also, this is a little bit humorous, but I've also heard it said by an Australian colleague at work that man plans, but God laughs. So, but back to the treatment. When I look back in my treatment diary, which I kept, and it's very much a man's diary. It's all full of facts about when I was treated and by which doctor. But there's one section that I'd like to focus in on, which I made a note, which said, I feel under attack as I was during my last time in Haukeland, the hospital in Bergen. The enemy is telling me things that aren't going to get better. I am useless, etc. Strength through word and prayer. Looking back, I remember those early days, and over the past couple of weeks, when preparing for today, I've taken the opportunity to look back at everything that has happened then and since. So what did my family and I learn from the experience of 2013 and beyond? I've tried to summarize under four sections. Point one, faith and trust equals strength, standing firm. Fear versus faith. To quote today's verse, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Initially, we were afraid, very afraid. Back to the loss of control. I was at one stage, I was running around in circles. I was trying to make lists of what we were going to do, of how I was going to manage the situation. You know, I was a great man for lists. I loved my Excel spreadsheets and my lists and my things to do in a day. And at one stage, we had to move house because of this. We'd moved to temporary accommodation, and I was trying to get back to the old house and work out what we were going to do to get this house on the market. And I was running around in a circle, and my colleague from work was there with me, and Joanne, and he'd never seen me like this. I was running around in a circle. I didn't know what to do. And fortunately, Joanne has been very good as well. My wife has been, she's been an amazing woman. And when we make our marriage vows and we say in sickness and in health, it's like a lot of things you say in life. You don't really appreciate what it means. But to have a wife that stays by you when your world falls apart, it's really something. She's been a rock for me, And the other thing that was difficult for us was there was a huge amount of forgiveness on her part required, because of all the experts, the doctors and the physiotherapists that we had before I got sick, it was only Joanne that said to me, "Derek, I think you should really go and get an MR scan. And it could be something in your brain." And of course I said, knowing best and wanting to save a little bit of money because I'm a Scotsman, I said, no, we don't need to spend that money at the private place that you get an MR scan in Stavanger. We can save money. I know best. It's my body. I think it's my back. Don't worry. So it's taken it took a huge amount of forgiveness on her part during that time and afterwards to get over the fact that I'd completely ignored her advice, and you know, which could have made things an awful lot easier. So I think I just wanted to mention that how important it was to have Joanne there. And I think when God brings a man and wife together, you know, he has his plan, and he, you know, in this case, you know, it was crucial that we were together. I can't comprehend even being through this on my own. It would have been, I just can't comprehend it. So back to the treatment. Early on, we had a visit from Pastor Denise, down the front here, and she patiently reminded me that I was not my job. I was not who I am through my work. My identity is who I am through Jesus Christ. And this was something that I really hadn't considered that much in the past, because I loved my job at that time. And they were great to me when I was ill, don't get me wrong, but the company didn't stop when I got ill. And Pastor Denise was right. I am not my job. We are not what we do. We are who we are through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I went from planned, like the Israelites had been in this plan, they'd had their comfortable, in many cases it would have been comfortable, existence as slaves in Egypt. They had this comfortable existence, and then they'd been taken out of Egypt, and they were being led in the desert, and everything was going well. They thought it was great. This is it, you know, we're on the way. And then suddenly that stops. And by early in the year, by about March time, I couldn't even control my own body. The times would come when I'd be set off, and an epileptic seizure would be set off just without any warning. We were in a shopping center up in Bergen, and suddenly it was like you could feel it coming on, and you phoned the taxi, and we were praying and praying that you wouldn't be, that things would go well. So by that point, I'd stepped back. When I had no control whatsoever, even over my own body, I stepped back and I said, "Okay, Lord, you've got your message through my hard head. I lift everything up to you, and I'm just going to step back and rest in you for the first time in my life." And at that point, Joanne says, for that period of my treatment, she says, "I was the best husband ever." So, and actually, since that, even now, I mean, what is it now, 4 years on, and we actually still have nostalgia for that period where life was so simple. There was us and there was God. You know, we were very, very focused on those, you know, it was the family and there was God. There was no... There was still bills to pay, but things were arranged. So it was very, very simple. And we do have, even though it was a bad time, we still have a kind of nostalgia for that period, because things were just so simple. In those early days, when the seriousness of the situation had set in, I started having to get serious about my faith. And I often use the phrase, Joanne and I often use the phrase, staying in the bubble. And it's this bubble of faith, where the world is going on around you, but you do all you can to protect your faith and to encourage your faith within the family. Personally, you stay in that bubble of faith. So no matter what's going on out there, you know, if there's something going on at work that's really getting you worked up, you stay in that bubble of faith. Any sort of issues, health issues, you stay in that bubble of faith so that you're protecting yourself from the doubts and the fears that can come in. this fear we had, if we didn't protect ourselves. Now, I'm sure many of you have been through difficult situations in life, but that fear, it was a fear that I'd never experienced before, because it was just this real feeling down in the pit of my stomach, which, if you didn't check it, it would burst up. It would just well up inside you. And it was that, keeping that fear in check. We read time after time, Psalm 91, God our protector, or Psalm 118, a prayer of thanks for victory. And verse 17, I'll say it right now and I'll say it loud.